This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
WEEI Afternoons here at Fenway Park, our Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios, reacting to the Major League Baseball trade deadline that wasn't overly fruitful for the Red Sox. We are also awaiting, and we have confirmation, our buddy Will Fleming will join us in studio sometime this hour to give us his thoughts, emotional thoughts, on what did and didn't happen yesterday. It's 5 o'clock. You're getting ready to head home for a beautiful night leading into the weekend. That means it's time for The Drive here on WEEI Afternoons.
This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep. Into left field. Gone!
The top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. WEEI Afternoons.
I think it might be important here to sort of reset what actually happened yesterday with the Red Sox. We've been complaining what they didn't do, what they didn't get, how they didn't make the team better, even if Alex Cora thinks they are better. So Dan Ball,
yeah,
remind me. They acquired two pitchers, a starter and a reliever.
Who are they?
What are they? What do they bring to the table?
So left-handed reliever Steven Matz, they got him on Wednesday from St. Louis in exchange for corner infield prospect Blaze Jordan. Blaze is hitting .289 over 177 plate appearances with Worcester. He got called up. It was going decently well, predominantly playing at third base, but also a bit of time at first base. So I guess he wasn't viewed as the Tristan Casas replacement by the franchise, but he was Rule 5 draft eligible, so they did that last year with Nick York and getting Quinn Priester, who was a player I wish the Red Sox had. Meanwhile, for Steven Matz, he is in his fourth and final year of a contract he signed with St. Louis. He's 34 years old, 32 games, 2 starts, 3.44 ERA, 5-2 record. It's the lowest ERA that he's had in a season since he pitched 6 games in 2015 with the Mets. So, decent season. He's become essentially just a 1-2 inning left-handed reliever. Doesn't walk a lot of guys, keeps the ball on the ground, so he replaces Brendan Bernardino on the roster.
Low leverage middle reliever. I've heard some people speculate that in a bind, could you stretch him out? He's had some appearances that were like 40 pitches.
Yeah. Used to be a starter with the Mets.
Yeah. Yep. So he
was part of that famous group. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So that is one.
Okay. And then, I'm excited.
Yesterday, we thought it was Joe Ryan. Instead, it was the next best thing, which is Dustin May. This year, 27 years old, 6-7 record, 4.85 ERA in 19 games, 18 starts. The concerning thing is over the 3 years, 2021 through 2023, he only threw in 20 games combined. He's had a lot of injury issues. He had Tommy John surgery, then had a Tommy John correction. He had an esophageal surgery. So he's never really put all the pieces together. He was acquired for two players, including James Tibbs, who was the outfielder that was acquired as part of the Rafael Devers trade, and he was hitting with Portland in 30 games, .207. One other minor league outfielder goes out the door for him.
Okay, so those are the players that were acquired yesterday and a little bit earlier by Craig Breslow.
Yep.
This is how fans responded to Craig Breslow this morning when he was on the phone with the Greg Hill Show on a roadshow.
Maybe a little bit unfortunate timing this morning because we are with an unruly crowd of Red Sox fans here. Let me introduce you to them. Guys, Craig Breslow, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox. Hi. Good morning. Good morning, Craig. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning.
So will this be the end of roadshow phone-ins from the Red Sox?
Might be.
Because remember?
Basically, the Hillman basically said, I want you guys to be unruly when Breslow comes on.
They booed naturally, and then he set him up for an even louder, better boo the second time.
This is an unruly crowd here.
Yep.
So be unruly. Hey, welcome in, Craig Breslow.
I wonder if there'll be some changes off this, Fitzy, because a few years ago when they had the, whatever they called, the winter
Weekend.
Winter weekend.
Yeah,
out in Springfield. At the MGM. Yep.
They booed there, and they decided, you know what? We're not going to do that event anymore. So I wonder if this will have ramifications.
Hello, fans. How are you?
Well, Breslow was not there in person.
Yeah, no, I'm guessing he won't call any road shows anymore.
Maybe.
Any place where there's an opportunity for the live studio audience to boo and let them know how they feel, I'm guessing that could be altered. You know, whether it's fair or not fair, it is what it is. When you build up expectations, and Craig Breslow, you were part of that.
Yeah.
You helped build the expectations with what you said at other appearances on the Greg Hill Show and on Nesson. And then when you bring them guys that you don't even call, he in his Zoom last night with the media, said they tried to bring in real impact players.
Yeah.
Therefore insinuating the guys you did bring in are not real impact
players. I
thought
the same thing right when he said it. Man, did you... those poor pitchers that you just got, they can't be happy hearing that.
Ted, if I said to you, Ted, we want you to be our linebacker because we couldn't get any real linebackers.
It wouldn't make me feel good.
Yeah, you shouldn't feel good.
We'll just convert this special teams guy. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
And as you're adding these guys that aren't real impact guys around you, the Yankees, you know, they made nine trades going into the deadline. They added three or four different bullpen arms. They fixed their third base problem. The Mariners, they now have one of the best top sixes in their lineup in baseball with the two guys they added. The Guardians were made. The Royals kept Seth Lugo, added a couple outfielders. Even the Rays added your boy Griffin Jacks, Andy. So it's not like you added a few fringe pieces and so did everybody else. Everybody kind of blitzed the competition, and you added from you got a player from a team that's trying to win a championship.
Yeah.
The Dodgers decide, and Steve Buckley said this, and I loved it last night. The Dodgers are trying to win. They deemed that Dustin May isn't worthy of trying to compete for a championship, and that's the guy that you added at the deadline.
Both teams acknowledged yesterday that Dustin May is not a real impact player. The Dodgers, by getting rid of him as they pursue a title, and the Red Sox verbally while acquiring him. I also want to add in, Joe Ryan was the dream. Joe Ryan was also the mirage on the horizon at about 5:50 last night, thanks to some terrible reporting by Yahoo and Fox. But also, Joe Ryan, you know what he's probably doing today? I bet you he's shaking hands and introducing himself because they traded nine players off their 26-man roster. So Joe Ryan,
the Twins,
he has to learn a third of a new team. So don't tell me you couldn't have lured Joe Ryan away. Is Joe Ryan the only guy they were going to keep on their roster? And Dan Ball, he's confirming. I just saw him get his fingers out. It's nine players, right?
It is eight players.
Oh.
So the Minnesota Twins put out one graphic. Congratulations to Travis Adams, Ryan Fitzgerald, Edouard Julian, Austin Martin, Pearson Ohl, Alan Roden, Erasmo Ramirez, and Jose Urania for being called up from AAA St. Paul to the Minnesota Twins today. My God. Poor Joe Ryan, poor Christian Vasquez.
You guys think that, I mean, there's something that smells here. There's a story that we don't know yet that I feel like there's way too much institutional confidence of
arrogance.
Arrogance that something was going to be done.
Yeah.
There's people that closely follow the team that were pretty much guaranteeing something was going to happen big. Buckle up. And you just wonder. You kind of hear the tone of Craig Breslow last night after it went down. Like disappointed, maybe embarrassed, maybe they thought they had a better handle on a situation when they really didn't. I feel like that's kind of what went on last night.
I feel like your guy, and I'm not quoting Parcells, I mean Belichick, because I'm quoting Parcells here. I think Craig Breslow doesn't know what he doesn't know yet about the trade deadline, being a GM, working deals. That report from Bob Nightingale that he's tough to deal with, I think he may have known. Like, there's guys that are good at it. Right? ABC, always be closing. They know the formula. They know the map. They know probably the ups and downs. You and I probably get suckered by it. We probably go to a car dealership and we probably get worked like we don't even know we're getting worked, right? Because that guy's been doing it for 35 years for Herb Chambers or Ernie Bach or one of these guys. Craig Breslow's new to this job and people are saying, he doesn't really know what he's doing over there. He's tough to work with. My guess is they thought they were well on their way to doing something. Otherwise, I don't think they would have put
out. Talent people. They let people know.
Or they were just trying to spin some PR and good. I don't even know why, because if people hate that, right? Isn't that one of those rules? You don't overpromise and underdeliver. You do it the opposite way. You underpromise and overdeliver. That's not what they did. They overpromised and didn't really deliver anything. But that brings us to our Alex Cora audio. He met with the media here at Fenway Park. And as you might expect, he put a pretty positive spin and a smiling face on the trade deadline. And he sounds like he likes his baseball team.
I think we got better. And I think the team is a lot different than the last three. We're more complete. We pitch better. Our bullpen is in a great place. So I'm very happy where we're at.
Do you believe him?
Not really. Go ahead.
Nope.
Fitzy, go ahead.
I don't believe him at all. This is Alex Cora just having to do the PR and maintain. He is in charge. If you know the ship is going down, or you know the ship is taking on water, or you know the ship is in trouble, isn't it your job to try to maintain confidence of the crew, the passengers, and everybody on board that you can say you can get to shore, that you'll be able to have a successful voyage, the plane will land? That's exactly what Alex Cora is doing here. So if anyone says, like, I don't like what he's doing his job. He's doing his job.
He is, Fitzy, and I think where you will notice his true feelings is if there's a crack, four-game losing streak. Things start to, fall apart.
Yep.
And the players, all of a sudden, just like what Lou Maloney said last night to us, he basically said the first sign of distress or trouble for this team, they will blame it on the fact that the Red Sox didn't do more at the trade deadline. The players will. And the manager will kind of fall into that line of thinking as well, the first hint of problems post-trade deadline.
Along those lines, an interesting name we haven't brought up, I don't believe, at all today, and it's an interesting night for him because he's playing for the Red Sox after a disappointing trade deadline against his former team that was active, that maybe could have more aspirations moving forward, the Houston Astros. That's your boy, St. Bregman. Isn't he going to play a key role in that clubhouse? Everybody tells me he's the leader of that clubhouse now, right? He's established. He's healthy. He's played well. It's been three quarters of a season. How does Alex Bregman, what can he do to prevent the August collapses?
What else do you want him to do besides hit home runs, besides hit the ball out of the ballpark, besides do scouting reports for every player?
See, that water? I need wine, Alex.
Basically, he walks on water. I mean, Fitzy, it's like, he's coming at me like, can he do more than he's doing? I don't know what else he can do. I mean,
Well, his mindset, though, Ted, could be, you think his mindset could be, holy blank, I have never missed the playoffs. And I thought that they brought me in, they brought in Crochet, they brought in Chapman, and I thought they were going to make similar moves at the midseason mark so we could absolutely push forward and validate all this money they spent on me.
I don't think he's going to be openly define or just show his displeasure if that's the case, because he's wanting to maybe get a new contract. So I hear what you're saying. He might be thinking but he's going to act as if he's going to be the company man. He's going to say all the right things.
I had forgotten about that. He did talk about, I think it's since ninth grade, he's gone to the postseason every single year of his baseball career. And that streak right now, he's still in the postseason path right now here in New England, but that streak is in jeopardy. So other guys are either so young they've never been there, like Raffaello, we mentioned him. He's talking about wanting to play in the postseason at Fenway Park. There, Anthony, they'll have their chances, whatever. Or guys that have been there and they know that they've missed the last few years. They've been a last place team. I just think it'll be interesting to see how Bregman handles his role as the leader with a young team, helping his boy Cora. That's the other thing. The manager is his guy. The manager might be the reason hell that he's even here. So they need to be on a unified front, I guess, in that clubhouse with how we're going to deal with this, right?
I was covering that team in 2017 when they won the whole thing, and they at the first trade deadline. Remember, the first trade deadline came at the end of June, and then they had another trade deadline.
The waiver, non-waiver, right, whatever it was called,
and they didn't do anything at the first trade deadline, and it was everybody was ticked off.
Mm-hmm.
And then that second one, Verlander came open, and they brought Verlander in, and all of a sudden they go win the whole thing. So,
unfortunately, that second one no longer exists, so we can no longer hope that they might have a ace up their sleeve.
Player though that, like, we're making this all about Joe Ryan, but if the Red Sox brought even in, like we discussed yesterday, and we heard potentially was going to be available to them, somebody like Merrill Kelly, who the Rangers supposedly outmaneuvered and snuck past the Red Sox on and got yesterday to pair up with Eovaldi. They could end up pushing past the Red Sox as well. So the Rangers give up their 5th-ranked, 9th-ranked, and 13th-ranked prospects to get a rental of Merrill Kelly, who I'm sure if he pitches well, they'll hope to sign on for next year and beyond. Does that seem like too much of an overpay for 2 months of a high-level, 30-something-year-old right-handed starter to try to make a playoff push?
No. Because basically the Red Sox gave up similar prospects in their deals. That was one of the things we didn't really touch on, is a lot of the quantifiers of trades say the Red Sox got fleeced in these two trades combined. If you look, one of the websites puts numerical dollar values on the prospects. I know Dan Ball will furiously look to have that ready. But either way, no matter how you look at it, prospect rankings or dollar value on prospects, these were bad trades for the Boston Red Sox.
So it's baseball trade values is what you're what you're
creative name.
Yes. The Steven Matz deal, without getting too much into it, was ranked as a minor overpay by the Red Sox. This Blaze Jordan one for one. So the numerical value put on Dustin May, $2.3 million compared to James Tibbs and Zach Erhard. The deal was rejected by the model as an overpay by Boston. Oh. So numerically speaking, it was said that the guys were given up for a rental of a guy with nearly a 5 ERA, for some reason, was rejected.
And they have the same models that tell them the same things. So that's why it leads me to think that your theory is...
Freaked out.
They freaked out and had to do something. Yep. Even if it was their computer said it, they were... weren't getting the best value out of the deal. They had to do something.
Yeah, that's scary. The guy who listens to the models had to stop listening to the models because he had to just
scramble. I don't like you telling me, no, I got to do something to get people off my back.
And then finally, we've been talking a lot of baseball, but a little football crept in because all of a sudden, two elite guys who are looking for new contracts are available, supposedly, has asked for trades. Terry McLaurin, wide receiver, Washington Commanders. Patriots could use a number one wide receiver and have $60 million in cap space. That one's interesting. Oh, Micah Parsons, negotiating with the Dallas Cowboys. Things are getting weird off the rails down there. They're trying to negotiate with him, not his agent. He wants out, hasn't been paid. The Cowboys do tend to pay in the end, but... if I gave you an either or right now, Ted Johnson, either or, you could have either of those players, and let's just pretend the money in the trades are basically similar. Who would you select?
Give me Micah Parsons. I'm more of a Micah Parsons guy. He's 24 years old, as opposed to Terry McLaurin, who's 30. I just think a pass rusher, all you say is, hey, all you got to do is beat the guy in front of you.
Yeah.
Or a wide receiver, it's like you need the offensive line to block. You need the quarterback to make the right reads. Things got to happen for them to be impactful with Josh McDaniels. I just don't think Terry McLaurin will be highlighted like he is down there in Washington. So to me, it's Micah Parsons. And I'm looking for this. I got crazy numbers. The Dallas Cowboys are one of the best defenses in the NFL when Micah Parsons is on the field.
Yeah.
When he's not, they are literally one of the worst defenses in the NFL.
It's like the old Colts, Bob Sanders, when he was like the most important player in the world. I just had an image in my head. Imagine how bad I would think the Patriots' offensive line was if Micah Parsons was on the other side of the ball and rushing past Will Campbell and Morgan Moses and DeMontre Jacobs and these guys on a regular basis. That would be ugly on the practice
field. Imagine how good that defense would be if you just can run Harold Landry, Keon White, anyone else, and just set Micah Parsons free next to Robert Spillane. Ted, how do you think they would deploy him?
Micah Parsons?
Yes.
They would just – they pretty much – They put him on the open side, so away from the tight end, the away from the run strength, and just he would never drop in pass coverage. I mean, every now and then just to keep him off balance, but pin your ears down and go, and then obviously highlight him in third down situations.
Fitzy, either or. If you could only have one, and it all kind of works out in the wash, dream scenario, who'd you get?
Terry McLaurin, because I believe the offense still to this point needs more work than the defensive side of the ball. Yes, of course, Micah Parsons makes the Patriots a top five defense immediately. But Terry McLaurin brings your offense up past serviceable, maybe even beyond respectable to potentially dangerous, because you'd have Steph Diggs and you'd have Hunter Henry and you'd have running back of choice. And then you'd have Terry McLaurin with Drake May and Josh McDaniels calling plays. That's a legitimate offense. We haven't had an offense like that since prime Edelman and Gronk, where you'd have two plus wide receivers or targets that would be dangerous. And yes, I know Josh McDaniels loves the backs, loves the smaller wide receivers. That would be dynamite. And I think, I hate to speak craft on this one, he wouldn't cost as much, Ted.
I just want to make this last point about Micah Parsons, and I got this from Bill Barnwell on Twitter. He said, over the last 4 years, the Cowboys are the league's best defense with Micah Parsons on the field by EPA per play. Across a little over 1,000 play sample, they're the league's second worst defense over that same stretch by EPA per play when Parsons isn't on the field. That's insane.
That is
one person.
He's very good
on a unit that has 11 guys.
But I also need to tell you, you're both wrong. They have $60 million. They have plenty of draft picks. The correct answer is
both.
Both players. And then you're talking, Fitzy, not about making the playoffs, not about me. You're talking Super Bowl, baby. Drake May, year two Super Bowl. Why can't we dream? If we're going to talk about it on the radio, we might as well dream big here on WCIF.
Oh, he's such a homer. Such a homer.
I just dream big. You know, if the Red Sox aren't going to fulfill my dreams, maybe the Patriots will. 617-779-7937. We'll continue to take your phone calls. We're still hoping to talk to our guy Will Fleming up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, one last time. Give me one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's trending? That was Will Fleming a few weeks ago with us here at WEEI at Fenway Park. But we're still waiting. We're still hopeful to get an updated version of Will Fleming's feelings here. He's been bouncing around. I know he was at the Alex Cora interview and doing some things here at the park, getting ready for tonight's game, where he'll call Cooper Criswell against somebody from the Astros who will beat the Red Sox.
Boy, you're just killing this poor Cooper.
I feel bad. He's kind of like the...
No, it's you're the one that's highlighting the fact that he's pitching and not somebody else.
It was TBD until a few hours ago.
Yeah.
Okay, ahead, well, guys, we're kind of whistling past the person who may be most critical of the trade deadline and the organization at large. Isn't this a Will Fleming, Sean McDonough game?
It is a Sean McDonough game. So, yes.
So,
Sean
think about McDonough. How he has been none too hesitant at all to criticize the organization or just sort of even joke about, like, who are we watching tonight? Who's on the mound? Who's at bat? Like, he could.
Was that Sean?
Oh, yes, he lost his filter like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
His filter fell off and he never picked it up. It's long gone and hard to find. Yes, Dan Ball?
Okay, here you go, Andy. So, three appearances for Cooper Criswell with the Red Sox since the beginning of June. He has pitched a combined 6 1/3 innings.
Oh, good.
And only given up one run.
Oh, good.
Last time out, July 2nd against the Cincinnati Reds, an inning and 2/3, 2 hits, no runs, no walks, and a strikeout.
So 6 innings in 3 games.
Yeah.
There's your opener.
Like a long reliever, you know?
So he's going to give me 2 innings, and then I get to see Steven Matz all folks.
I mean, yeah, but he was in your rotation last year. He made some starts of significance. He went 5 innings a couple times. I'm trying my hardest.
We're guaranteed to see a lot of bullpen arms tonight.
That's correct.
That's a great way to start a series after a day off. Just use all your bullpen arms. I'm telling you, I do also wonder a little bit about, and this is a side topic to the trade deadline, the starting pitchers, Fitzy, the management of Garrett Crochet. Because you think about it, wouldn't it be nice to have Garrett Crochet go out there tonight and give you an ace performance?
Yes.
For morale, sure. The troops.
Absolutely.
Right? So they managed him going into the All-Star break. They managed him coming out of the All-Star break. And now they're managing him basically a week later after the trade deadline. Doesn't that seem like a lot of management?
A lot of management.
And there's no reason, right? There's no reason for
it. Well, the reason is because he's never pitched this much ever in his career.
Yeah, but I thought a couple different times our guy, and you've referred to this, Fitzy, that our guy says it with a smile but sometimes fibs to us. Hasn't a number of times he's been like, and then we're all in, and then the reins are off, and whatever the different phrases he's used are, but they keep finding ways to manage the ace here. So I think it bears watching, I guess, is all I'm saying.
Only full throttle that has come this way all season long is the cloud of crap they keep funneling us when it comes to us trying to get a straight answer on, just about anything.
Yeah, and we keep buying some of it, and then we question some of it. We buy more from Cora because we like him. We buy less from Breslow because we think he talks nerdy and we don't like him. But you're right. There's a lot of that being funneled out through the front office and the organization. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone lines. Mark in Rockport has a question for us. What's up, Mark?
Two quick questions. Given the current, you know, roster construction and hopefully the run they're going to go on this year, if you could get one guy back just for this run on the team, would it be Mookie Betts or Kyle Schwarber?
Schwarber. For this year? Schwarber. It's not even close.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I think, too.
Give me a guy going to hit 50 home runs.
Can we play him at first again?
Absolutely. If we can play a crappy first baseman, at least he's a crappy first baseman who hits home runs.
It probably sounds crazy to some folks, but just given the number of outfielders they already have, I think Kyle would be the guy for me.
Yeah.
And Mookie's having a terrible year. What was the second question, Mark?
So I missed the comeuppance when those guys pulled the wool over your eyes with Yahoo, and I want to go back on the app and hear it. But so just basically, what was that? Were you guys on air yesterday when you realized it? Because I know it was right at the end of the hour.
Yep.
Or was
yep.
it today?
No, that was yesterday when we went with a blue check mark Yahoo and Fox Sports and a graphic on Twitter.
So Fitzy saw, I could see his reaction to something online, and then I looked at my computer and I saw not one but two. Fox and Yahoo reporting that the Red Sox had made a deal for,
thanks for the call, Mark.
For Joe Ryan.
Yeah.
And then basically that, to me, that gave the green light for Fitzy to go ahead and announce that that was the deal.
All right, Stiz, since Mark brought it up, I know you you have the audio ready and you were looking to have a little fun at the expense of the hosts on the show. So
wait a minute. Hold on. But I do, and I'm happy that we're going to, because I thought it was very hilarious. All right, you guys ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's go. Ready. Roll it. We're ready.
Here we go.
Oh, ye of little Fenway faith, according to at Yahoo Sports, breaking. The Boston Red Sox have acquired all-star starting pitcher Joe Ryan from the Minnesota Twins per at John Morosi.
John Morosi, the Boston Red Sox.
Put the jersey back on.
City Connect jersey's warranted. I'll be putting on my City Connect sweatshirt.
Shame on you for not having any faith. No faith, no faith, Stiz. You know, don't put your shirts on. You don't deserve to put your shirts on.
That's the best part.
Nice, Ted. When people put us in their mouth, that's why they'll do it, because we're a bunch of...
Has anyone ever
taken... What I said was way worse than what Fitzy said.
Has anyone ever taken a faster victory lap than Ted Johnson then have to backtrack immediately?
So fast.
WEEI Afternoons here at Fenway Park. We've been promising it for an hour now. We're going to pay it off right before the end of the show. Will Fleming joins us next here, WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Afternoons, Fenway Park. WEEI Afternoons back at Fenway Park with a first ever for our Odds and Ends segment brought to you by Cars for Kids. Your trusted charity for car donations also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. That's Cars with a K. I say first ever because we're going to do an interview here. Our boy, Will Fleming, who last time he joined us, we started a coast-to-coast feud with another Will Clark, in which we learned a lot about Will Clark and a lot about Will Fleming.
Yeah.
So, Will, appreciate
we had
you.
We had our boy.
We did.
I know. I appreciate that.
We're a team here. Once you're part of Team WEEI Afternoons, you're part of the team.
That was great. I'm just trying to get out of here without any Hall of Famers hating me. That's my goal today.
We'll see. We have different goals. okay, so Will, you were passionate. We played a clip earlier about sort of reinvesting the money, and I don't want to focus on the money because that's a different topic for a different day. But if I asked you or expressed to you first that I'm disappointed because I had dreams of Joe Ryan, and I obviously didn't get those except for those 15 seconds when we misreported it, but another topic, another day. How disappointed are you? Are you disappointed in what went down yesterday or didn't go down?
Totally, I am. I mean, because I believe I sat right here and told you that I felt certain that they're going to reinvest the money, they're going to make big moves, they're going to go all in.
Yep.
I still believe that, by the way. People will kill me for that and say I'm always so wrong. Ridiculous. They traded away Rafi Devers, and they did everything they could to make one of those moves. Now, I think we can all sit here today, and it's a very – first of all, if I'm a Red Sox fan, I get being disappointed. You had expectations. You thought there were options to add, and I think you'd be crazy to watch this team and not think they could benefit from more pitching. Tonight's a pretty good example of that.
Mm-hmm.
And there were guys out there that I think really could have helped. I think where things get a little complicated is if you as an organization, first of all, I don't know just how interested they were in parting with like top young talent for rental pitchers. And I don't think that's an unreasonable stance to take. And I think that people in that building would tell you that they got a guy they think has as much upside in Dustin May as some of those other rentals that people coveted. You can disagree with that. I might too.
Yep.
But that's their stance on this thing. I think the other thing that really complicates it is, and I'm just here to tell you, like I told you, Joe Ryan was the guy they wanted. He was the guy I wanted. I think he's still the guy they want. I think it'll be revisited in the offseason. I would not be surprised at all if he's here opening day, spring training. I think Joe Ryan is a guy they want. Now they know what the price might look like. I think where it gets really hard is if you say, like, we think we have a really good chance of getting this guy, Joe Ryan. The Twins are then saying, all right, well, here are the dudes that need to be a part of this thing to make that happen. Well, then what happens if the Marlins with Cabrera or the Diamondbacks with Kelly or the Padres with Cease call and say, well, we're going to do it, but it's going to be for this guy. And you're going, well, I just got off the phone with the Twins GM, and he said this piece has to be involved to get Joe Ryan. And if I'm them, I'm keeping that dream alive no matter what. And I know definitively there were so many conversations. I don't – how close, how far – I can tell you definitively – and I'm not going to get into too many of the specifics, the things that I do now know. It's amazing to me how many national reporters get things just totally wrong. Like, to just invent stuff. And the things that are said with certainty on podcasts and interviews are wrong. And I mean, you guys live this. It's the world we live in, aggregation and trying to clickbait and all this stuff. You can be disappointed. I am. I thought they needed more help pitching-wise. We'll see what May and Matts do. I thought this team is totally worth adding to. There were a lot of pieces out there. They kind of went all in one direction. It didn't work out, and you know there were no chairs left at the ball, I guess.
Well, what do you did the reports were that anybody on the big boy squad was off limits. That
yep.
They were not made available. Do you know that to be the case? And if so, was that the right way to approach the trade deadline?
I know that wasn't the case. Now I know they made a decision around. I think the reports around Jaren Duran are mostly accurate. But that they would have included a Duran or an Abreu, as far as I can tell, for the right person, the right piece. And I think, Ted, where people get it wrong in the national media and in other sort of evaluations of this was, let's just take one thing in particular, the Ryan deal. I don't think that was ever part of it. And I think the reason that, think about where the Minnesota Twins are, right? Like, they just tore the thing to the studs. They're going to sell the team. They just traded their closer, their setup guy. Carlos Correa is off the books. Mm-hmm. Like, why would they really be moved all that much by, like, a Jaren Duran? Now, if you're talking Abreu, that's a little different, right? Younger, more control. But if you're really just breaking the whole thing apart, if you're the Twins, I don't know that a 28-year-old outfielder with, you know, a couple more, three more years of control is really the piece you're looking for. So I do know definitively that some of the reporting out there that the Red Sox were not going to include those people is wrong. I just know that that's flatly wrong. So take that for what it's worth. But as to all the deals and whether any of those guys would have been moved, I can't speak to that. But I do know that the stuff around the Twins with the big leaguers is just wrong.
As I'm sure you've heard and you've seen, Red Sox fans are not thrilled with Craig Breslow and just the front office at large right now. But what's your perspective on him as a baseball executive and kind of a frontward-facing member of the Red Sox front office, given the way that fans are talking about him right now?
I wouldn't want to be him today. I think... yeah. We get it. Everybody who works in this market and the owners who run the team and the people who take this job understand that it comes with the territory, right? And I think he's been the first to kind of admit that maybe there's some work to be done on the PR side of things, like the communication. I think he's trying to improve that. The trade deadline is its own weird animal, and I think it could have been done differently. I think they should have come away with more pitching. But I don't think that anybody can criticize him for the job that he's done in the last 12 months. I mean, look at the roster that he's built and all the wins that he's put up on the board. I mean, they're in a playoff spot right now. You think Crochet was a good move? It was given $120 million to Bregman, a good deal. Did it take courage to trade Devers? You bet your ass it did. I mean, he did all those things, and all these moves that he's made have hit. We'll see whether – I mean, the trade deadline is so weird – and I think that is still a box to be checked. Like, can I pull off a deal when it's so pressurized and when there's so many different pieces moving on the chessboard. That's its own thing. And I think years to come will prove, you know, where that thing comes down.
Breslow had an interesting comment, I thought, this morning on the Greg Hill show after he was booed. Yeah. About
tough crowd.
Yeah, it was a tough crowd. Tough crowd. And Greg didn't help him any by introducing him to the
crowd. And here is Greg. Yeah.
Tell him what you think, everyone. But he mentioned he had already spoken with some players about what they had tried to do, things that were going on, and that felt like a preemptive strike of, I don't want to lose the clubhouse.
Yeah.
I don't want emotion to be an issue here. Is that a concern? We've seen the team kind of tank in August in recent years post-trade deadline. Do you think they have a better handle, not just talent-wise, but on the emotion of what they're going to go through today, tomorrow, next week, and how this plays out?
I totally do. And I was just down in the dugout talking to players and the manager, and that everybody's fine. And I think that the energy that they've had these last couple of weeks is such that they believe in what they've got. I mean, would everybody in there love another starting pitcher or two on top of what they got? Definitely. I don't get any sense, Andy, at all, that they're going to be let down by this. And I think Craig's taking the right approach. Like, this is where, as a former player, I appreciate the way he handles this. And he did it after Devers, and now he's done it today. He's not going to stand in front of the clubhouse and give some, like, scripted speech to 26 dudes sitting in front of their lockers. Like, Ted, you played. I don't think anybody in that room needs to hear the GM be like, fellas, like, we believe in this group and we tried everything we could. No. What's important to him is he wore the uniform. He's in that room. He knows that the most important thing is that Bregman and Story and some of the young players buy in and believe what's going on. And he did that today. And know that he sat specifically with them and talked to them starting last night and got very detailed. Like, hey, fellas, like, these are the dudes that I just offered for these players. It didn't work out, but that's not because I don't believe in what this group has or that I don't want to add. And I think when you handle it like that, one-on-one, man-to-man, and say, you gotta believe me when I say, I believe in this team. Here are the people I wanted to get. Here's why it didn't happen. And I think because of that, he gets credit for that, I think. And I think there's a real belief in that room. I do.
Any second guesses, you think, of the front office for the, not trading Rafi Devers, but just the timing that maybe he could have been used in a, you know, as a trade chip at the trade deadline?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think any real big hitters with that kind of control moved at the deadline. I don't think the history would suggest that there's a lot more to get at the deadline. And I really think, look what's happened with the team since then. First of all, the Giants have the worst record in baseball since he got there. The Red Sox have taken off. They've had these long winning streaks. The culture in the clubhouse improved immediately. And so I think not only would I not criticize them for not waiting to the deadline, I thought they did exactly the right thing. And they read the room. They knew that it had to happen. It was time. It just had to be addressed. The money's gone. They like Harrison a lot. They like some of the players they got back. Of course, one just got moved in a deal yesterday, the kid Tibbs from San Francisco. So we'll see how all those moves work out. But I thought it just had to happen. And it's a better room and a better group because of it. I believe that.
Andy spent the last 48 hours or so complaining he's not seeing Garrett Crochet tonight.
Yep.
He thought he was going to, missing a Crochet day. Is the plan still, after getting a couple extra days off, for him to be full throttle? Anything developing in terms of his usage down the stretch?
No, I don't think so. And I mean, look, all this stuff is sort of, it's more art than science, although there's a lot of numbers and data that go into, like, trying to predict how an arm can be saved through a season. But I just think they've been planning this for a while. Like, we got to get this guy rest, because we do think we're going to be in October, and we want him to be at his best then. So I've asked plenty of people that I trust point blank, is anything wrong with him? Definitively no. There isn't. It's not that he's not bouncing back. It's not that anything's going on. He's not hurt. They're just trying to play it as smart as they can.
You hear the music.
I do.
About 15 seconds.
Whisk him questions. Off the stage. Anybody else I can piss off?
Let's try it. Will you be calling postseason games this year at Fenway Park?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Definitively?
Definitively.
I like the confidence. We'll talk to you again soon. That's Will Fleming. Listen to he and Sean McDonough tonight.
Should be a wild ride.
Hooper Criswell on the mound for at least a couple innings, and then we'll see what the hell happens. Red Sox Astros here at a beautiful night at Fenway Park. That's going to do it for WEEI Afternoons. We will be back next Monday here at Fenway Park. We'll talk about the weekend. Fingers crossed, we'll still be talking about a playoff baseball team. Everybody enjoy the weekend. Talk to you soon. See ya.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.